Peace and love. Peace and love.
Welcome to this neighborhood, neighbor.
My mom always said, life was like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get.
You know what I am? I'm a housewife that figured it out.
Wow, 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 wow!
And now, here's the host of Good Things Radio, Brooke Taylor. Saturday.
Hello, hello, hello. Long time no talk. Welcome to episode number 67 of Good Things Radio. Oh, it's so good to be back. I am giving you a big hug. Just feels good to be in the swing of things again. And so we've got a big show planned today. We have a lot to catch up on. This is number 67 of Good Things Radio and plenty happening to cover. I think this is the longest podcast break that I've taken in about a year. For sure, since Jennifer and I changed the format of the show, I've gone solo, but it was because, I'm sure you've heard, we were on pilgrimage for 2 weeks in Italy. We just returned. Physically, we're here. I'm here. But my body, my heart, I think, is still there. But what a trip. And I don't even know properly where to start with just unpacking it all. Because here's the thing. I did send pictures back. I did share some updates here and there on Facebook. But it's one thing to see an image. And it's another to actually, I mean, you can see a picture, but never know what's going on in the heart of a person. Not see fully what's happening spiritually. And there's so much to just unpack with that. The gifts from the trip, just the overall experience. But that's what we're going to try to do just a little bit on the show today. Also, I wanted to get to back to school, but I think we're going to be so full with trip, pilgrimage, Italy stuff that we can just save that until next week if that's okay. And I would love to hear from you, by the way, regarding that topic with back to school, because I'm just feeling almost on another planet at the moment. So I need your help as we kind of do this together. Our kids went back to school. We had one go back while we were gone. And then our daughter went back just for what's called a phase-in day. And you know how that is. It's nice when the kids are at school because if you do require childcare, it's just one less thing you kind of have to worry about. You know they're safe in school. You know the house is quiet. And so that was nice. And then when we got home, the other two started today. And I know across the country, it's different. One of our listeners, Georgia Jenny, she was the first Podbean patron of the show. She's a principal. She's in Atlanta. They already started. In California, Vanessa, who's also a listener, their kids haven't started yet. So whether you're there or not, I would love to hear your tips and insights from your family, anything that you want to share, whether you're homeschooling or it's a brick and mortar school, you can send it over Voxer. Just download the app. What do you do to try to make life easier? How are you feeling about this year? Do you have any topics that you want to cover when it comes to back to school? And if you do the Voxer thing and you don't have the app, it's just free to download. It's kind of like a walkie-talkie. You can find me at Brooke Taylor and the number one. But I have to say, I have loved this app so much that I'm now kind of getting lazy. I don't want to write an email or even do a Facebook message because it's so much faster to just, with the sound of our voice, share quickly what the messages we want to convey. So anyway, that's on Voxer if you're interested, or an email. That works too. And that's feedback@goodthingsradio.com. And so before we jump in and get on to the trip, let's stop, collaborate, and pray. Here we go. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Dear Lord, God of new beginnings, we thank you for the gift of the dawn of a new day. In this, every day, you give us a doorway to a new beginning. Illuminate the way through your word in our lives, a lamp into our feet, a light into our path. Protect us from the temptation to feel like we need to do it all, or to fix it all, or to be involved in it all. Give us wisdom, Lord, to know when to hold on and when to let go. Protect our children. Be with them as they embark on a new school year. Bless every teacher and bus driver, aide, pastor, principal, parent. Give them mercy, Lord, wisdom to know how to bring out the best in each student. We ask for the intercession of Solomon, the wise one. Be with us, Lord, as we drive. Be with us as we rest, and in the mundane moments of our day, that we may dance with you in the glory of the ordinary and celebrate you right where we are today. In Jesus' name, amen. I heard a great idea about making the sign of the cross on your seatbelt over your heart. And as I was sharing that prayer with driving, it made me think of that. What a way to bless yourself as you get in the car and just remember that that can kind of be your mobile chapel. Certainly a place that we need to be blessed and protected, but also a great place to pray. So maybe just a small thing to do as we hop into our car and we get going for our kids, for ourselves, just a little thing, sign on the cross on our seatbelt.
It's Brooks
House.
It's Brooks
House.
Hello, come on in. Welcome, welcome. Meek, excuse the mess. We have, right now a mix of suitcases and backpacks and lunch bags that need to be refilled, laundry that needs to be washed. But it's all good, I think, because it's a sign of a lively home. I'll just put it that way, I hope. But at the moment, it's just because we're adjusting. We're getting back from our trip to Italy, which I want to give you the highlights about. And I was trying to figure out the best way to do it because it's 2 weeks. And it's not just the physical places that we went, but it's the spiritual journeys that we took too. All of the people, their stories. So how do you somehow distill it and condense it into one little podcast that's actually entertaining? That's a challenge. So you'll have to be the judge on that. But I wanted to just kind of maybe take you through some bullet points, some highlights, and bring you into the trip with us to Italy. So the first thing is I'm trying to think of the day we left, and it seems so long ago now, but the morning that we woke up to get our final preparations, we were going to leave about 11 o'clock. The first thing I saw when I opened my eyes was a text from my friend Andrea. You've heard her on the show, Andrea Cingarella. She was at the Arise retreat. She'll be there again next year and was also a fellow pilgrim on the trip to Italy. And she had texted me. It was actually on Voxer, and it said, it was a headline, "Worldwide outage. Delta Airlines says systems are down everywhere. Flights grounded." Have you ever had this where you see something and you're seeing it with your eyes, but your brain isn't believing it? And you have to kind of process and compute. And then I was thinking, is it August or April? What month am I in? Because this was the first thing I saw when I was waking up. And then I thought, she's joking, because we were all on Delta Airlines. This is a group of 23 people, all on Delta Airlines, set to travel around to Europe, around the world, I was going to say, not that far, but halfway. And I thought she would not joke about this. And sure enough, that was the truth. So that was a really crazy way to wake up. What a way to start a pilgrimage. Of all the days, 365 days of all the years, that this would be the day that we would travel. And it has to happen to somebody, right? And I'm just grateful that it wasn't a terrorist attack or anything like that, but it was quite intense, because with the group of 23 people, there were women who were widows that, first of all, are making a big decision to travel without their spouse, without their comfort zone, halfway across the country, and then to throw this at them. It was emotional for all of us. Our priest, Father Jay, when I got to the airport, he was sweating, he was nervous, because he and I were co-hosts on the trip. And so you've got a lot of responsibility. And although it's out of our hands, it's one of those situations that instantly throws you into the unknown and completely being at the mercy of airlines and God's will. So needless to say, it worked out okay. None of us hardly got our luggage. A few lucky souls did. But it really bonded our group. And obviously, that's not the way you expect or think or want to be bonded. But it really was a blessing, because we all prayed for each other. We all felt the feeling of uncertainty and trust. And for us, it was about 32 hours of travel and delays and missed flights and standing in line and a lot of stress and a ton of praying. And if that's what we wanted, a spiritual experience, we sure got it. We traveled again. There were 23 people with us. And you know, if you have an issue and it's you or a couple, it can kind of be a challenge to get you together on a flight. But then 23 people. So we were all scattered. Some people left the next day. Some people got lucky and got in early. We were kind of in the middle. And again, we got there but didn't have our luggage. So, and I have to say, our tour guide and our company, Proximo, did an extraordinary job of just trying to adjust our flights and do the best they could from their end. So, long story short, after about 2 days, we all trickled into Catania, Sicily. That was our first starting point, ground zero location. So, either by way of Milan or Rome or France or wherever the wind blew, we kind of flew in, and that's where we were. But the vast majority arrived. And again, no one was sick. No one had any major health problems. So it was all about perspective. It really quickly helped us to inhale and exhale, take a deep breath and think, okay, we're here. Our feet are here. And just a quick story for you, and because we laughed at it all as well. The last group of people to make it in had flown out the next day and gone from Cleveland to Detroit and then Rome and then Catania. Well, on the flight from Detroit to Rome, the plane actually had to make an emergency landing. I mean, what? On top of all this, the plane had to make an emergency landing. This was the one that our pastor, Father Jay, was on, and about four other people. And one of the women, eyewitness Norma, she was looking out the window, and she said on the water, looking down, she saw a fisherman in his boat, and he was with as fast as he could wave, both hands waving and waving. And she's saying, oh man, he's really trying to get our attention. He's saying hello. And it wasn't until they landed and were given an announcement and then saw what unfolded that they understood what happened. One of the hydraulics blew out. They had to make an emergency landing. Meanwhile, before they landed, the airplane was dumping fuel into the water. That is why the guy in the little boat was waving his arms. He was saying no. And then when they landed, there were a dozen fire trucks. There were polizia and lights, and they had to be towed to the actual gate with the airline smoking. It was an enormous fire hazard. And this was already on top of a day of missed travel and delays. So it really was like something out of a Chevy Chase movie. But thank God again that everybody arrived. And in the end, it was amazing. And here's just a little sample of one random evening in Sicily.
Excuse me, but you see back you won't not believe that's amore.
Okay, not the best singing, but it was fun. And it was the spirit of the group. And so that was from one of our nights where we were sitting out in a piazza at a street corner. There was a shrine right on the top of the street corner with Our Lady blessing us from overhead. And it was just magical. And it really was a pilgrimage, I feel, in the true sense of the word. We journeyed from our home to a holy place, and along the way, we encountered the Holy Spirit in ways completely unexpected, totally unforgettable. Our first day, we saw a little apartment in Catania with George and Andrea. George also was on the program before. He was talking about security. He is our Linista International founder and our kind of Jason Bourne character that's talked to us in the show about security in the past. And he was born there. He lived with his family in this little apartment until he was 4 months old, and they immigrated into the United States. And he got to see the apartment where he was born and he lived, and had never ever seen or come back to. He got to see the church where he was baptized. And then we had mass there, and his wife, Andrea, read the first reading in the church where his mother had had children and been married and carried him in her womb. And he received the Eucharist. And our pastor pointed out it was for him like receiving his first communion in the same church that he was born and baptized and then left as a baby. And then you just feel the emotion of that. It was really powerful. So those moments are the things you could never plan for and put it on your itinerary, but just are God incidences and just give you goosebumps. And we started there. In the island of Sicily, we visited Mount Etna and Taormina, which was amazing. And if you get a chance, I've got about 6 days of our trip up so far, if you're interested. And if you go to YouTube, my name is Brooke Taylor and the number 9. And you can see kind of some highlights and what it was about. Then after Sicily, we took a ferry, and it was about a 20-minute ride. And we went to the mainland and visited Reggio Calabria and the Amalfi Coast and Tropea. We visited Positano. We stayed in Sorrento, which, by the way, if you're asking and you didn't, but if you would, of all the trip for me, I would say every stop along the way was more unique and wonderful and incredible than the last and the next. But Sorrento, to me, if I was going to have a home base, would be there, because it's not too far from Naples. It's not too far from the Amalfi Coast. And it's also not too far from Rome if you want to go north. But of course, all of Italy has their special regions. North of Rome, of course, you have the Tuscan Valley and Assisi and Florence. So you take your pick and you're going to land in paradise. But for us, we loved it. It's on the water and it has just the most gorgeous views. And every stop along the way was filled with some other new garden. God surprise for us in Rome. Father Jay renewed the vows of four couples who were celebrating wedding anniversary, and so it was at St. Mary Major Church the day after the Feast of the Assumption, which is a huge holiday, not only across the world, but in Italy. And to be at the Marian Church of Rome the day after the Feast of the Assumption was amazing for these couples who have lived out the vows for better or for worse, rich or poor, sickness and in health, and to see them renew their vows. I mean, there was not a dry eye in the house. And the history of everything was overwhelming. It was such an interesting dichotomy because here we were on this trip that was flying by in warp speed. And we see in life how fast time goes by also. But then you walk in these places and you observe how time also stretches back through history and forward to eternity. And then somewhere we're just a vapor in all of that, just a flash in a second of this enormous timeline that never ends. And there's something I felt really detoxing and healing about withdrawing from our present era and absorbing the living pages of the past, to just soak it in through the stories that we heard and the land that we walked in, and leaving a part of yourself there, and also taking a part of that place with you and encountering God in the Eucharist in those places. And in the middle of it all, escaping the cacophony of current events. I had no idea what was happening in the news. I did not know what my bubble of the world was around me. And it felt so nice to do that, just to kind of slip out the back door of time and encounter these ghosts of histories and the brothers and sisters, the saints that we're following in their footsteps. And it's purifying. And I have to tell you that being a lover of history, and I think a lot of us do this, I always fantasize about what era would I want to live in. I love the 1950s, but not the 1960s. The 1920s are good, but then you've got the crash, and I wouldn't want to live in the 30s. Before that, of course, you didn't really have good transportation. You didn't have flight. You didn't have penicillin or all the things. And you can romanticize about the era of the Crusades or the Renaissance or whatever the case might be, any sort of the Middle Ages or the time of Christ. But what I loved in sharing this with Father Jay is a reflection that he told me about, because when you go to these places and these churches represent the spirit of the people, and it makes you cry, because living in the kind of post-Vatican era that we're in, it can be a little bit sad to see what has become of our country. And I know that I sound like a pessimist, but when you go, and of course you idealize things too, it's really inspiring. And you think, this is home. This is how I wish it were, where every street corner there's a cross or there's a sign of my faith. And what Father Jay said is, God didn't need you then. If he needed you then, you would have been born then. But he needs you now. He needs you today. The light that was lit from candle to candle, generation to generation, passed down to us, needs to remain. And people after us will look at us and say, wow, look at what they did. Look at how they lived. Look at the light that they shone that still was passed on to me. And that was so encouraging, because it's true. If we trust God and God's sovereignty and his faithfulness, then we trust his timing, and that we are here today and in this country and in our current state in life for a specific purpose. And I just love that. And that was one little lesson of them all. And that was just one little lesson, one little takeaway. In Rome, we were able to attend the Wednesday papal audience of Pope Francis. And that was surreal. I had never been a part of anything like that. And so I thought we would be outside, but they took us into this room. It looked like a big auditorium. Maybe you know this. I didn't even know what to visually expect. The other cool thing is how many brides and grooms, they weren't brides by themselves, but the wedding gowns and the tuxes, the suits of newly married couples that were coming for a blessing. And that was beautiful. So there were probably a dozen of these gorgeous brides and their husbands going in for a blessing. And I had a full-length laminated picture of Carolina, our daughter. She's autistic, I know you're aware, because I had our family picture. My husband and I had each other, and we knew that there would be a blessing. But I also wanted to bring her just as a visual reminder that she needs special blessing with some of the challenges that she has and the hopes of her healing. And it was really funny, because I'm thinking, yeah, this is a good size. I mean, Carolina's tiny. She's 6, but she's about the size of a 3-year-old. And so for some reason, I thought that in a crowd of thousands that her picture would somehow stand out, which is fine. But next to me, there were these people that had an entire king-size bedsheet flung from one end to another with like a wooden pole on each end with this giant sign. I don't know if it was Italian or Spanish. And they had written something about Papa Francesco. And I thought, okay, they're never going to see my little speck next to their bedsheet. But I just thought it was so humbling too, because we all want to be above the crowd. We all want to stand out. And the truth is that God sees us as if there's only one of us. And all of the people clamoring for Pope Francis and shaking and holding out their hand. And on one hand, you think, this is just too much. He's just a man. And on the other hand, it makes you weep to see the entire world and all the languages that are spoken come together in this one place, because no other church on the face of the planet has done that ever, where we had people standing up and priests speaking in Arabic and German and French and Spanish and English and Italian. And everyone was gathered. It was so beautiful. And then at the end, he gave us our blessing. And also together as a group, we said the Pater Noster, which is the Our Father. And having learned that as a family, the Latin prayer, it was such an amazing moment. And to see him so close was really emotional as well, because I think for all of us, you see people on TV, but I never really thought that I would be that close. And it wasn't too close, but it's close enough. So I do have a picture if you're interested on the Facebook page and also on the videos, which I actually haven't uploaded as I'm recording this, but hopefully it'll be up in the next week of all of it. And hopefully trying, my goal was to take you right there with us and inside the room. And again, it's Brooke Taylor 9 if you want to find that. And then finally, okay, it's not finally, but almost finally, we then celebrated Mass, Father Jay did, our priest, our pastor, our shepherd, at St. Peter's Basilica at the Vatican. And for me, that was a life highlight for sure, because you think about where you're sitting, and it was just steps away. I was blessed and humbled to read the first reading. And so that was literally, I would say, 2 feet from the glass casket of Pope John the 23rd. And to know that he was the man that ushered in Vatican II and all of the thought that he put in to try to breathe new life into this living fountain that is our faith and our church. And he was right there, and we were blessed to be at his canonization. And so that was one of those moments that it just was kind of full circle. And thinking about how my grandma loved her faith, the generations before us who were so devoted to Christ and the church and all of the teachings, and of course, not perfect saints, but you know, the fact that it wasn't just me standing there, it was the generations of my family along with us, and those in my prayer book, and those who have also shared the journey of faith. So that was a beautiful moment. But at the same time, with also some down moments. One of the guys had his wallet stolen, another man got dehydrated and quite sick, but there again, like in the beginning with our lost luggage, it was an opportunity to rally and to see the Lord work, and he did. And you learn about each other, and that's what I love too. There were two women in our group that were our breast cancer survivors, one other man who had open heart surgery, another man who had had a stroke and really had to relearn everything, and everyone with such a zeal for life, and that causing them to live differently and deeply and inspiring. And there were also non-Catholics on our trip, and I loved that as well. There was such a wonderful heart of respect and curiosity for each one of us. And so those are the things that I love about pilgrimages and trips like that. It's all of the things that you can't put down on a bullet point wrapped up in a piece of paper to present to someone. You just have to say, trust me, this is going to be a trip of a lifetime. And it always is. And now I'm going to cry, because kind of like an ocean, it's all around. It's deep and wide and vast, the things that just come through. And what a gift that is. And so as we kind of wrap up, and thank you for allowing me to share this, but on the last day of the trip, we ended in the catacombs, and that's where we had Mass. And beforehand, I had just kind of quickly, crudely jotted down a brief reflection. And so I wanted to share it with you, because I think it sums up the pilgrimage. And since you were so kind and merciful to listen to the whole trip, I wanted to just share it with you now and kind of hopefully briefly summarize the thoughts of the journey. And it starts like this. What a fitting conclusion to our journey together. We began our pilgrimage celebrating new life as we commemorated George's baptism in the land of his birth. And in the same church, he was consecrated as a baby, along with the hopes of his parents and family so many years ago. We climbed mountains. We sailed the sea. We spent a day just miles from one of the most historic volcanoes in the history of human civilization. That's Vesuvius. We were given the gift of overlooking glorious stretches of dazzling cities like Positano and Capri. We witnessed and celebrated the sacrament of marriage and the renewal of wedding vows, not just as a passing thought, but an emotional reality in the depth of the meaning of those words, and couples who have lived out the realities of for better or for worse. We gathered to receive communion near the tomb of St. Peter, just feet away from Pope John the 23rd, Michelangelo's Sistine Chapel, and the Pietà. We sang together. We celebrated watching John and Joanne dance at dinner in Catania. We rallied for Bob when he lost his wallet. We prayed for Tony and Pat, and we grieved with George and Andrea about the news of their friend. They had received an email about a good friend who was sending out a kind of final email, was battling pancreatic cancer, and was given 2 weeks to live. And so that email came and was shared with the group as we were in the Vatican at St. Peter's. And so together we lifted up, Tim is his name. We walked through holy doors. We received a personal blessing for ourselves and our families by the Pope, our Holy Father. And this trip, I feel in many ways, is life in miniature. How fitting then that we end here in the catacombs. As we descend below the ground into the labyrinth of passages that were dug out and prepared for the earliest Christ followers, as we walk into the catacombs, we will enter a door. And although it may not be marked as such, I believe it's also a holy door for us. Because a doorway symbolizes passing from one state to another. Doors open to the mysterious and are an invitation to dare to voyage into the beyond. How often do we come to a door and we don't know what's on the other side of it? Every hotel room we walked in, we didn't know what it would be on the inside. Every church that we went to, we weren't sure until we got in what the grandeur was or what it held for us. And here, we've done that. We've taken a voyage. And the Good Shepherd has certainly been with us. Interestingly, that's a common symbol among the catacombs. And the most common scripture that paints the picture of the characteristics of the Good Shepherd is the 23rd Psalm. Take in these words and think about the experience of the pilgrimage. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff comfort me. You prepare a table before me. Every night we had a feast. My cup overflows. You anoint my head with oil. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. So I think for me, the trip taught me once again, in just a little tiny way, the reality of the Alpha and the Omega, that although the journey on this earth we have is short, just like our pilgrimage, that we remain in the presence of the Eternal One, and that we've met Him. We met Him through that experience. St. Augustine said, to fall in love with God is the greatest of romances, to seek Him, the greatest adventure, to find Him, the greatest human achievement. And I think that that's what will stay with me. Somehow, in some way or another, on a very tall speck of a scale, I feel like when we were on Mount Etna, we were transfigured in a way, and to be able to come back with our soul dazzling, not of course anywhere near like Christ, but just with the restoration process and of having those experiences of nonstop prayer and rest and not even having to use our brain much to think because everything is done for you. You don't have to get up and do anything. There's a banquet spread before you and you've got every day breakfast, and then you don't have to figure out where you're going because that's done too. What a gift that is. And also, again, the reality of generation after generation, century after century, lighting the candle of faith, and now us being handed that torch and what that means. And often we would go through the southern portion of Italy, over to Sicily, then to Rome. And I don't know what the definition of a mountain is, but to me, they're mountains. They're enormous hills that are way up and in many cases really rocky. And over again, you would look up in the highest point and you would see an enormous cross. And I just marvel at that, because how in the world, and these, in some cases, they were up there for centuries, she told us. And I'm thinking, how did they get that up there? And what an incredible act of love it is to haul something enormous. And even if they broke, okay, I will just play the devil's advocate. Even if they broke them up in small pieces, broke it up in small pieces, however they put it together, like a Lego set of giant steel, I don't even know, to have it to go up this mountain with where there's no possible way that you can see that there's a path to go up these mountains. What an act of love that is, to tell the world that this land is conquered by Christ, and to go to the summit and to mark it with the sign of the cross. So for me, that was the visual takeaway that I will remember. And I pray that you feel that cross. And I pray that you feel the victory of your home and your city and your school in the land that you live and walk in also being conquered by Christ. And that we are the victors. That's the takeaway. And God's creation is so beautiful, so magnificent. He speaks to us in what he makes. And the more that I see the world, the more I realize his love story to us is this planet. What a gorgeous love letter he's written to us in all of creation that speaks to us of who he is every season of every year. And I pray that you feel that as you receive the beauty that he's given us. And I just hope next time, maybe you'll consider going on a pilgrimage with us too. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to the whole recap. I promise I will not take another break so long. And I can't wait to connect with you. How was the end of your summer? How is the beginning of your school year? And what topics do you want to hear about? Let me know, because I'm kind of pressing the reset button and I'm ready and revved up and really fired up to make this season count of good shows and great podcasts, and also to hear from you too. So again, you can reach out at feedback@goodthingsradio.com. Also the Voxer app, it's Brooke Taylor, the number one, and you can just shoot over a message that way. Have you traveled? Where would you go? Where do you want to go? And what did you learn when you traveled? I'd love to hear that as well. And by the way, for those that have asked, my kids were A-okay. And that was, as I mentioned in the show leading up to the trip, probably one of the biggest prayer requests and sources of anxiety. But I have to tell you, whether it was the Arise retreat or something like this, the times that I've kind of stepped out and done something like this, but I have to tell you, it has been such a blessing every day to check in with the kids. And then when we got back, to hear all they did and the amazing angels of mercy that came into our lives and out of the woodwork, whether it's Vicky, who's the policewoman in Cleveland that took the kids bowling, or my mom or our babysitter, who is also a saint, Saint Katie is what we've canonized her in our home. It really was a gift. And so if you're ever thinking about doing something like that and you have the support and you have the tug of the Holy Spirit, I say go for it. It is truly a once in a lifetime. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much for your patience during the break. Again, we're going to make up for lost time. And if you have a topic we want to hear about, shoot us an email. And thank you especially to my producer, Mark Cumming from Cumming Home Studio, who always does an amazing job of getting the podcast up and at him, even when I'm the one that's with the delay. And I have to tell you, he is a producer extraordinaire. If you have any projects whatsoever that you're working on, he will do an amazing job of making it come to life. You can reach him at cumminghomestudio.com. Thank you for being a part of the show. Thank you to all the Podbean patrons. And until next time, friends, God be with you.